is The Hour of St. Francis, featuring Patrick McGeehan as Jim Powers in his own story, which might also be yours.
I'm waiting for my wife at this restaurant that's halfway between her house and mine. 3 years ago, a judge told us, "You're not married anymore." That's why I have to make a date to see my own wife. Well, we ask for it, Lucille and I. We killed our love by our infidelities. No, there wasn't any triangle. We did it the slow way. I want to tell you just how we did it, because Lucille and I stand for thousands of other couples. We started out like most of them. Dance, dates, more dates, kisses in the moonlight, here comes the bride, and our honeymoon is going to last forever, sweetheart. It lasted 5 months, until we moved into our own house. I started to hang a picture in the living room. It was one I'd picked out myself. A fleet of fishing boats with red sails coming into a harbor.
Jim, darling, that picture belongs in the hall.
In the hall? Sweetheart, this is a living room picture.
But it doesn't match a thing in the living room.
Oh, that's all right. It's nice for a contrast.
It sticks out like a sore thumb.
It does not. This is a good picture.
What's good about it?
I like it.
Oh, Jim, you sound just like a child. I'm not going to have that thing in my living room.
It's my living room, too. If you don't have this picture here, what are you going to have?
The one I bought, the ballet dancers.
Oh, I hate ballet dancers.
I hate fishing boats. I won't have them in my living room.
This is my...
All right, go ahead. Be selfish and spoil the looks of the whole room. My feelings don't matter.
Oh, now who's acting childish? Nobody's spoiling anything.
It's my fault, I suppose. It's my fault that you have no taste, you're stubborn, and you won't listen to reason.
Look, stop yelling and give me one good reason why I can't hang this picture in the living room.
Because I don't want it there.
I said a reason.
All right. Hang it in the living room. Fill the whole house with your old shrimp boats. I don't care.
We never did hang either the shrimp boats or the ballet dancers. Both our pictures ended up in the hall closet, buried like a lot of our dreams. Lucille and I nursed our hurt feelings into our first act of infidelity. We went back on our promise to take each other, Jim and Lucille, for better or worse, with our bad points as well as our good ones. For richer, for poorer. We promised that, too. But when I don't get any richer, we drift into another kind of infidelity.
What do you mean, where does the money go? What money?
The money I give you every week, my whole paycheck, except for car fare and lunch money. That ought to be enough for rent and groceries and everything.
Would be if we lived in the tenement and ate nothing but bread and water.
Lucille, what's the idea of telling Elaine Miller you can't bear to go to the fashion show?
I merely told her the truth. On the salary you're making, I can't afford a new hanky.
Lucille, will you please quit whining about Bill Morris getting that promotion? He's been with the firm 3 months longer than I have.
And he's got brains and some get-up-and-go about him.
And he's got a wife who knows how to save money instead of throwing it away in the junk the way you do. Well, see what we were doing? Breaking our word to be satisfied whether we had more money or less. We started with finance. Then we got personal. And we don't keep it to ourselves. There's always the friend of Lucille's and the friend of mine who keeps us posted on each other's sniping in public.
Where's Jim? Oh, he came to the party, but he's probably asleep under a potted palm someplace. That's all he does at home, fall asleep in a chair until it's time to go to bed. He should get a job demonstrating mattresses. The only business he'll ever make a success of.
You ladies don't mean you want to run my wife for president of the garden club. Oh, you see, that's the joke of the season. Lucille's got as much executive ability as a white rabbit. And when it comes to handling money, she can't add a column of zeros and get the right answer. to love and to honor. We started breaking that promise every day. Love doesn't live for long after you've killed respect. Things quiet down a little just before we have the baby, my son Jimmy. Then he just serves as more ammunition for the battle. We fight about everything from his formula to the college he's going to. Jimmy's about 8 months old when I get what looks like a break. A chance to work late a couple of nights a week and pile up a lot of overtime. But Lucille and I managed to spoil that, too.
I called your office 3 times last night and nobody answered. Thought you told me you were working late.
Oh, maybe I stepped out for some coffee.
It takes a whole hour to drink 1 cup of coffee.
Lucille, why do you keep asking me where I was last night? You know I worked late Tuesdays.
I drove by your office on the way home from the club meeting, and there wasn't a light in the place.
You can't. All right. So maybe I worked down in the basement.
You're getting paid for this overtime, aren't you? I never see any of those checks.
You see my regular paycheck every week. That ought to be enough. I could have explained everything in 2 minutes, but I wouldn't. Why not? Oh, just to be stubborn. You see, I'd planned a surprise, and I was not going to let her spoil it. Then one night I came home around 10 to find her waiting at the door.
We're going to have this out right now. Where have you been?
So you don't believe I've been working overtime?
There's no one in that building the night you say you're working. How dumb do you think I am? Well, whoever she is, she's welcome to you.
She? Lucille, is that what you've been thinking?
What do you expect?
You thought I was unfaithful.
If that's what you want to call it.
I don't know why I should tell you this now. You've been down to the office. You should know the switchboard closes at 6 p.m. No calls in or out. The room I'm working in is in the back, and you can't see any lights from the street. And here's the reason why I didn't give you the checks.
What are these? Receipts from a jewelry store.
I'd almost finished paying on a ring for you.
Oh, Jim, I'm sorry.
Well, it's a little late for that.
Well, why didn't you tell me all this before? You let me sit here and worry night after night. You just did it to be mean. You don't care anything about my feelings.
You're the one who's been unfaithful. You wouldn't trust me.
That's right. Go ahead and blame me. That's all you've ever done. Well, you listen to me, Jim Powers. I'm not going to stand for any more of your abuse.
Well, I'm fed up, too. This doesn't.
All right, if that's the way you feel about it. You can get your money back on that ring you were going to buy. And here's your wedding ring, too.
If that's the way you want it.
That's the way I want it.
After that, we think there's just one thing to do. In no time at all, we're sitting in the courtroom and a judge is saying, divorce granted. It's all over just like that. I don't feel anything. I'm numb inside. Then as I start visiting Jimmy every other weekend, and I see Lucille for 5 minutes of that time, the numbness wears off. I feel a slow ache, like a bad tooth getting worse and worse. I tried to get rid of the ache by digging up all the reasons why we had to get a divorce. I end by coming to the conclusion that Lucille and I had wrecked our whole future by breaking faith in so many little things that we finished by doubting we loved each other at all. I have 3 years of trying to live without a good reason. Then my luck changes. Which means that God feels sorry for one of the biggest fools who ever breathed. He fixes things so my car breaks down one morning and I have to ride a bus to work. I take a couple of drinks to fortify myself, as I'm getting in the habit of doing. On the bus, I sit next to a lady who sniffs and gives me a dirty look. She has an even dirtier look to throw at a fellow who gets on at the next stop. He's really loaded. Hey, buddy, You better sit down here.
All right. Thanks, Mac. Hey, will you tell him when we get to Anaconda?
Where?
Anaconda Street.
Oh.
Where Anaconda School is. I gotta go see my little girl.
Hey, mister, you better wait until Saturday. You can't see her during school hours.
Oh, it's the only time I can see her. She talks to me through the fence. My wife left me. She took my little girl.
Oh, look, why don't you go visit her where she lives now?
Oh, my wife won't let me see my little girl no more. Says now I drink too much.
Well, she could be right.
I can see my little girl.
Oh, how perfectly disgusting. He should be arrested for drunkenness.
Lady, don't be too hard on him, please. Maybe he didn't drink before his wife left him.
Of course, you'd stick up for him. You're drunk, too.
The bus comes to a stop, and I get off fast. I keep seeing the drunk. It could be me, Jim Powers, a couple of years from now, talking to my boy through a fence. I know I can't go on the way I am, and I don't know what to do. I start walking, trying to think. I pass by a church, and the thought strikes me that it's been quite a long time since I've been inside a church. So, I go inside this one. I try to tell God how badly I need an answer. Then the idea comes to me that Lucille and I would still be together if we had asked God to help us be faithful to those promises that are too tough for just ordinary human beings to handle alone. When I come out of the church, I call up my wife.
Oh, Jim, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
Fine.
How's Jimmy?
He's fine.
Lucille.
Yes?
Lucille, I'd kind of like to talk to you.
What about?
Oh, a lot of things. Look, will you have dinner with me tonight?
Well, all right, Jim.
That's how I happen to be keeping a date with my wife. We're trying to start all over again, and it's slow. Because we buried our love so deep, it's a long time coming up out of the grave. We're not afraid of each other now. We're afraid to trust ourselves. Maybe that's a good sign. It means we finally learned that the only way we can keep faith with each other is to put our trust in God.